The following program is an exclusive sports presentation of News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5 News Gazette Media Stations.
Lucas underneath, pretty feet to Black, who slams it in. Oh, there's the assist of the game. Lucas to Black, and the Illini jump in front again with an emphatic slam by Black.
Fighting Illini game day is on the air. The countdown to tip-off is underway with the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show. Your first look and in-depth preview of today's contest here on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5, the flagship home for Fighting Illini basketball.
Almost a five count, lob, intercepted by Nichols. He takes it away. Fast break the other way, layup is good! And the crowd on its feet and a timeout Northwestern. Abrams to Pinky for three! Michael Pinky knocks down a three. Everybody joining the party.
Now from courtside at the State Farm Center on the campus of the University of Illinois, here's your host, Scott Beatty.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome in to Fighting Illini Game Day and the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show. It is time for Illinois basketball as they get set to take on the DePaul Blue Demons, game number 3 of this young season, and a game as part of the Gavitt tip-off games. Lauren Tate alongside me here as the Illini come in at 2-0. Having defeated Southern and Tennessee Martin last weekend, DePaul dropped their opener to the number 14-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish and beat Delaware State 81-57. Warren Tate, among other things that are on the line here tonight, if Illinois wins, it would make the Big Ten and Big East even at 4 wins apiece in the Gavitt games. And Illinois wants to keep a tie intact here for the Big Ten.
You know, I was surprised at how good the Big East is this year. This is a really good league this year. They've only got 10 teams. Of course, we know about Villanova. They won the national championship a couple of years ago. And then you got Xavier, which is really very strong. Seton Hall, a big win. Providence, Butler, Creighton, Marquette. St. John's better this year. I mean, poor DePaul is down near the bottom. What were they, 2-16 last year in this league?
I think they had 9 wins total was what I heard in last year's season. So this is a DePaul program that has a little bit of talent out there, but it's obviously in a turnaround.
In the last 9 years in the league, in the Big East, DePaul is 21-141. And they had 1-0-18 season in there.
They got a brand new arena in downtown
Chicago.
Yeah,
now they're going to try to turn it around, aren't they? They got with the mayor, and they got 100 and some million dollars out of that thing, and build a new place.
Even so, I think this is probably the most talented opposition Illinois is going to has seen so far.
Okay.
I like the Skyhawks. I think they had something there from UT Martin, but this is probably a step up.
I think so. I just don't know how good DePaul is. We'll see. DePaul lost by 18 to Notre Dame. They came back and won a good game against Delaware State. I'm not sure about DePaul. Have they come out of that? That the depth that they've been. I mean, this is a team now. Of course, the new arena, that's going to fire things up. And I think that they've added a lot of players. They've got a lot of everybody we play has a bunch of transfers. We've got Merrick, who's a transfer from Northern Illinois. We've got Strauss, who was a star for Lewis University, and there are several others. 5 of these guys actually attended La Lemire.
That's right, including Jalen Coleman Lands. Haven't seen him here. Don't know if he made the trip. He obviously wouldn't be able to play in this game because he's out because due to the transfer rules. He has to sit out this year. But, yeah, including Jalen Coleman Lands, there's 5 guys. And there's talk about Tiger Campbell from La Lumiere, which was once an Illinois target as well. So it's become a pipeline from that school to DePaul.
Yeah, it really has, and there's a reason for it. The head coach of La Lemire is now an assistant coach at DePaul, and players follow coaches. That's just the way it works.
Well, let's get Brad Underwood's thoughts here on DePaul as he talks about what the Illini will face in the Blue Demon squad.
Well, they've been exceptional in 2 areas. They're scary in transition. They're a team that is has literally 4 guys who have the capability to get a rebound and lead the break. And so, you know, you've got to have great communication in transition. They're a team that is equally effective driving the ball to the rim as well as they are stopping and shooting it from the three-point line. And then they're a team through two games that has been just short of dominant on their own offensive glass. And that's something that we've got to shore up.
Brad Underwood, they're using some pretty strong language, exceptional and dominant.
Well, that's what coaches say about the teams they're going to play. It's always true.
Guess what? They're really well coached too, right?
Absolutely.
Indeed. We're off and running here on Fighting Illini Game Day and the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show. See the folks at Rudy Wealth Management for all of your retirement planning and investment needs. Rudy Wealth Management, Central Illinois' retirement specialists. Lauren and I have more when we come back from the State Farm Center. Later on, we'll hear from Aaron Jordan. We'll get you our keys to the game. Also, Brian Barnhart with the Coach's Corner. He talks to Orlando Antigua, assistant coach for the Illini, who had the scout in tonight's ball game. State Farm Center, stay with us. We're back on Fighting Illini Game Day. Some of the big Illinois news of the day. And it's sad news. J.C. Caroline has died. He was a standout football player for the University of Illinois, consensus All-American in 1953. Passed away at Carl Hospital today at the age of 84. Kent Brown said he belongs on the Mount Rushmore of Illinois running backs.
Well, he certainly does. He was about as good as, in that era, he was the best. I mean, Illinois had a lot of great running backs. A lot of them were fullbacks in that period. Tate and Wallace and guys like that. But J.C. was a running back that just broke out in 1953 and led the nation in rushing. And as I said, had clearly better statistics in every way than the player from Notre Dame who won the Heisman that year. I looked it up. And J.C. did everything. He could punt. He played really good defense. He's a terrific defensive back. And, of course, as I said, a terrific running back. And he went on, played for the Bears later on, came back here and coached in Urbana and I think he wound up his career as a teacher in Urbana.
And you knew him well.
Oh, yeah. Was,
good. What do you remember about him?
Well, he's a really friendly guy. I was pretty close to him. We talked a lot. I mean, he was just a good buddy that I knew all those years. I was much closer to the he was in school the same time I was. Now, we weren't buddies then. I mean, he was a superstar, you know, but I remember him certainly. It was my misfortune to be in the service the year when he had his best year. So I did miss that season, but I knew about him. And of course, when I came back, I was close with the coaches a lot. And I talked to JC when he was an assistant with Pete Elliott and also Jim Valley.
Our condolences out to the J.C. Caroline family. All right, Illinois going to play DePaul here. Last time they played, 1957. The structure we're sitting in right here didn't even exist. They used to play in Huff Hall in Chicago Stadium. Briefly, Lauren, why haven't they played in over 60 years?
Well, I can't do it briefly because it's too many years, but I will start with one thing. In 1957, Harry Combs played them the last time. That's when we had Jackson and Vaughn and Ole on that team. And Harry was very upset about certain teams that had an ability to get people in school that he couldn't. Cincinnati, Louisville, DePaul, those were all schools that he didn't want to play those schools, and he ceased to do that. And Harry coached for 20 years, remember, and he coached on into the 60s. Now, you got to remember, later on, DePaul got really good again, and Illinois didn't want any part of him. And Illinois didn't want to go up there and play. You know, Illinois had been probably willing to play them down here, but when DePaul wasn't going to come down here and not get a return. And then in the early, right when Lou Henson was trying to build up the team in the late 70s, all of a sudden, DePaul got in the Final Four in 79. They got Mark Aguirre, you know, after we got Eddie Johnson from Simeon. And, we got Eddie Johnson from Westinghouse. But Aguirre, and they had 3 years there. They went to the Final Four in 79, and then 80 and 81, 82. They were 26-2, 27-2, 26-2. They were really, really good. And Lou didn't want to get involved with that. Why would he?
Yeah, makes sense. Why do you want to schedule somebody you're going to lose to?
Well, and it's embarrassing to lose within the state, yeah. And you don't find Illinois playing many of the state schools over the years. Not many, once in a while, but not many.
We'll see if this rivalry gets renewed long term or if it's just a one-time deal here.
Well, this is all because of the Gavitt game.
Exactly.
The coaches didn't have anything to do with this.
Exactly. All right, when we come back here on the state to the State Farm Center and Fighting Illini Game Day, the Rudy Wealth Management pregame show, we'll hear from Aaron Jordan, who's enjoyed a resurgence here in his third year as an Illini. Stay with us. It's Fighting Illini Game Day.
It's Fighting Illini Game Day. The Rudy Wealth Management pregame show continues on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. Here again, Scott Beatty.
Illinois and DePaul coming up in a little while here at the State Farm Center. Well, Aaron Jordan, the junior guard for the Illini, has started strong in his first two ball games. He had a career-high 17 points in the opener. And I had a chance to talk with him this week. But first, let's hear from Brad Underwood on Aaron Jordan.
I see another level of confidence every single day in A.J. And to be very honest, A.J. made the two biggest plays of the game. He got an offensive rebound tip-in because he went. And I'll be honest, 2 weeks ago, he would have laid on that guy's back and not got that rebound. But he tipped it in. It was about the eight-minute mark. And then he hit the three in the corner and got fouled. And those were huge plays, and one of them was just strictly an effort play, and the other was a confidence play with a guy flying at him. He jumps up and knocks it down, and confidence is a wonderful thing, and he's doing so many things right, and he's playing so hard. He did a great job defensively, was outstanding. His plus minus was off the chart, so I couldn't be happier, and he gets better every single day.
Is this an opportunity here for you for a bit of a renewal, a rebirth almost for you in your college basketball career, this new system and this new coach?
I wouldn't call it a rebirth. You know, I learned from my first 2 years. It taught me a lot about life and the business world and everything else that goes on. So, I mean, just coming into this new system, you know, just gave me a chance to, you know, be myself and just show that all the hard work does pay off.
Are there things, though, in the system that play more to who you are as a player, or have you changed more towards the game?
I wouldn't say I've changed. You know, I keep going back to the hard work because, I mean, I told myself I'm going to work the hardest that I can this past off season, and the results will show.
How grateful are you on this side of it now that you chose to stay at Illinois? There's a lot of times when there's coaching changes, players decide to go elsewhere.
Yeah, a lot of people did think I was going to leave. I don't know why. You know, this is the best place to be. Great people, great fans. I love Orange Crush. Love everything about this place. So I had no doubt I was going to stay.
What are some of your favorite things about this place?
Well, they just built a Portillo's, to be honest with you. I'm not even going to lie. That's a little bit of the reason why I stayed. But no, I'm playing. But I guess just everybody around here in the environment, coaches, teammates, I mean, the professors, students, everything.
Do you feel like you've settled into a role? It's early in the season. I wonder if a lot of players have even settled yet into roles on the team, on the court. Do you feel like you've found yours?
I mean, I see roles, but, I mean, everybody's goal when they get out there is just do what they do best, and that's help the team win.
DePaul, how excited are you to play them tonight? What are you seeing them?
Very excited. You know, they're a tough team, solid guys, solid group of guys, so, you know, it should be a good game.
Coach said they're very strong in transition. Any one of them can push it ahead and get to the hoop. Sounds a little bit like the model that you guys are trying to have.
Yeah, you know, they are good in transition, but, you know, that just tells us we got to get back, we got to talk, we got to communicate, you know, we got to do everything we can to stop them.
Hey, the freshmen that have joined the team this year, Mark Smith is probably the most notable one, but what have you seen out of them? What do you like about them?
You know, very talented group of guys, you know, and they look to us for, you know, some advice. You know, we just want to keep their head on straight, you know, just know that out there they're not alone. You know, we've been through it. We know what they're going through sometimes. You know, it's going to get tough at times, but, you know, we got them.
What's hard for them as freshmen, and where do you step in and help them with that?
I mean, just adjusting to, I mean, in high school they probably didn't play in front of 15,000 people, so you just knowing that, you know, when it gets loud, when it starts rumbling, that's when we come together.
Does that give you any nerves ever, or does that always give you energy?
I would say energy, to be honest. Freshman year, might have given me a little bit of nerves freshman year, but, you know, now, you know, it's exciting to hear all the fans yelling, screaming at you, you know, that's what makes us go.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
Across the court on the big orange block guy to All-Stork. Lob back to Finke in front of us. Right corner, Jordan. Three ball up and good. Count it, and he's fouled. And that's two games in a row. He's got a potential four-point play.
Aaron Jordan, our thanks to him. And quickly, our keys to the game brought to you by Hickory Point Bank and Champaign, the unlimited value of the right team. One banking expert will steer you in the right direction. A whole team of them will take you to your destination. Hickory Point Bank Invested, also brought to you by the Pella Windows Store. Lauren, your keys.
The key to get right now after watching the last game is finish. I think that every game, I say every game, a huge majority of the games you play this season, you're going into the last 8 minutes, it's going to be a toss-up. I mean, it's going to be a game that's within 10 points and can go either way. If you're ahead, you got to keep playing. Don't get hesitant. Don't slow down. Just keep scoring. Pretend like you're behind. Play like you're behind all the way.
I like that, and I think the communication, too, that Brad Underwood has talked about will also be key. Keys of the game brought to you by Pella Window Store. For all your window and door needs, visit the Pella Window Store on Country Fair Drive or go to PellaOfChampaign.com and by Hickory Point Bank in Champaign. Coach's Corner coming up. Brian Barnhart talks to Orlando Antigua, and then there's more here from the State Farm Center as we get set for Illinois and DePaul on Fighting Illini Game Day.
Welcome back to the Reedy Wealth Management pregame show. I'm Scott Beatty. Time now for the Coach's Corner with the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart. Coach's Corner is brought to us by Hickory Point Bank and by Scotty's Brewhouse.
It's Illinois basketball today as we get ready for the Illini in Tennessee. Martin, pleased to be joined by assistant coach Chin Coleman, his first year in Champaign. Good to have you on with us here. How's your stay been so far in Champaign?
It's just such an honor and pleasure to be here. For me, it's truly a dream come true. Like, when I got into the coaching ranks on the Division I level, I've always wanted and dreamt of coaching at the University of Illinois. Being a kid from Chicago, yeah. I mean, growing up, you know about the history, the legacy, and all of the great players that went here and all of the great moments that went and played here, which is what attracted me to wanting to be a coach when I got into the coach ranking. So for me, it's a true dream come true.
Remember your favorite players, Illini players, when you were growing up in Chicago?
Marcus Liberty is one of my favorite players ever. He was unbelievable. He was ahead of his time. He was a 6'8", 6'9", guard, but he didn't play guard here. But he was a 6'8", 6'9", guard. He was really, really, really good. He was a special player and a remarkable person. So Marcus Liberty, for me, was my favorite player.
Now, you went on to play at Lamar, right? Yeah. And I think you're in the top 15 scoring at Lamar, so that's pretty good.
Am I 15 now?
I think it's 11. I think it's 11.
Somebody took me out?
I guess.
Somebody took
that's
me
what,
out of top
that's
10?
What the That's what the book says.
Really? So I've been top 10 forever. Yeah. Somebody took me out, huh? Good for them. Yeah.
Now, who was the coach there at that time?
Gray Giovanni, who's the head coach of Augustana down in the Quad Cities, was the head coach at the time. That was my head coach.
All right. Well, you came from UIC. You come here to Champaign. You're working with Brad Underwood. Just talk about what you've seen from this team so far. We had a good night the other night. I know the key is to be consistent, right?
Well, this is a team that's going to probably take on the behavior of all Coach Underwood's team that continue to get better possession by possession, practice by practice, game by game. So we've been building up to that particular point in that game that we've had by working our habits and working our discipline and stuff that we need to do for Coach Underwood. And you guys were, and everybody was able to see the effects of that. That was the byproduct of the work that we do in practice. We practice hard, and the games aren't as hard as our practices. So the games are just a byproduct of our practices. We prepare one way. We prepare for the name on the front of the jersey, being everyday guys. And from doing that, we feel like we'll have a lot of success.
Tennessee Martin is the opponent tonight. We'll talk about the Skyhawks after this break. We're visiting with Chin Coleman, and this is the Coach's Corner. Assistant Coach Chin Coleman with us. You've got the Tennessee Martin Skyhawks. This is a team that's kind of reworked their entire roster. They had to. They won a lot of games last year.
This is a team that's, for the past 3 years, have won plus 20 games. So winning pedigree is there. They return only three players that played with some experience and minutes, and they added 10 guys, but only one high school guy. So this is an older team. Bunch of junior college guys, some guys with some Division I experience. They got a transfer from Robert Morris, a transfer from Florida FIU. They have a transfer from, was that Radford? So they're a team that has a lot of experience, and they're going to integrate those guys into the mix. But the winning pedigree is there. They went to Marshall a couple nights ago in a hostile environment. So for them being on the road and lost a heartbreaker in overtime, they've seen it all. And this is an older group, so they're going to be prepared, and we have to be prepared for the energy and intensity that they bring in terms of the experience that they're going to have on the floor. So we've had one-day prep, but we've had a great prep for a one-day prep, a great prep. Our guys have been dialed in.
Tell me about Matthew Butler.
Big-time OVC, all-league guard. He's probably going to take a bulk of the shots, and we understand that he's a shot taker and a shot maker. They're going to come up early and often from anywhere on the floor. There's not a shot that he doesn't like. He's a shoot-to-he-miss kind of guy, and he's going to get him up. He's only going to off ball screens. He's very aggressive. So we have our work cut out with him, and he's going to be the head of the snake, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a couple other guys that you've scouted, looked at, and said, okay, we need to keep an eye on these guys.
I think they get better as they sub because they bring in some experienced guys. They bring in a fifth-year transfer from FIU the other night who had 25-6. He hit a big shot, three, to send the game in the overtime. He's a guy that's seen it all. He stays in his box, he's just one of those get-the-job-done type of guy, you know what I mean? And I like him. I like the junior college point guard that they bring off the floor. And when they bring him in, I think that they get better and they move Matthew Bradley to the two and they put him at the one. He's got a funny name, Del Finco.
Bogan. Yeah.
And I didn't want to butcher his name. But when they bring in Bogan, number two, I go by numbers. When they bring in number two, I think that they get better with the couple bigs that they bring off the bench and bring him off the bench. I think that they increase their firepower. So,
tell me about their defense, what they like to do when we have the ball.
They like to junk it up. They're going to play an assortment of zones, but it's a matchup. The principles are a matchup zone. It's going to look like it's a 1-2-2. It's going to look like it's a 1-1-2-1. It's going to look like it's a 1-1-3. It's going to look like it's a 2-3 at times. They like to junk the game up. So we got to be prepared to be patient, work our habits, and do what we do. We can't allow for the different looks to stagnate our offense.
Hey, Coach, great to visit with you. We'll do this many times during the year, so we'll look forward to it.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Assistant Coach Jen Coleman with us here from the State Farm Center on the Coach's Corner.
Thanks, Brian. And the Coach's Corner brought to us by Scotty's Brewhouse and Hickory Point Bank. There's more to come from the State Farm Center in just a moment. I'm Scott Beatty. Tim Dittman and I will bring you the Fasteners, Etc. postgame show after the ball game. You're welcome to join the conversation with your calls and texts here on News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana and Light Rock 97.5 WHMS Champaign-Urbana News.